No, a pastor must be called by God to be a pastor. He assumes that God will use him to accomplish what God wants to accomplish with a congregation. During his ministry, Jesus used a lot of parables to teach the truth. There is one parable that Jesus extended and shared with his disciples that we're going to look at this morning. Please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. And we will read a short portion of that parable. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 2. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The Greek word used for shepherd in verse 2 is the word poimen, which can be translated shepherd or pastor. It's the same Greek word for both. So Jesus is doing something here that he has done in other scriptures. He is talking about two different things that may explain why we have verse 6 in this chapter. John 10:6 tells us, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." The thing that the disciples or followers of Jesus did not understand is that they are sheep and Jesus is the shepherd. This also applies to his followers. Pastors are supposed to be the shepherds of each local flock. And when Connie and I were in Scotland as missionaries, on Sunday morning we had to drive 50 miles one way to get to church because we were pastoring three churches at the same time, one in Edinburgh and one, a lot of people call it Edinburgh, but it's Edinburgh, one in Galashiels where we were at, and then there was another one in another little town. Every time we drove, almost every time we drove to Edinburgh, we would run across sheep that had gotten out of their pastures. And sheep loves nothing better than to be in the middle of the road. And so we would have to stop for the sheep. And they would eventually get out of the way and we'd go on. Most of the drive was in the country. And so we stopped many times to keep from hitting a sheep. Jesus, when he was sharing this parable with his followers and his disciples, was talking to two groups, his followers and the church that did not yet exist, but would one day come into existence on the day of Pentecost. So it would be permissible to read this as directed to the followers of Jesus, but it would also be proper to read it as to the modern day church. John 10, verses 7 through 10. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The abundance that Jesus was talking about and wanted to bring to his disciples, as well as those of us who have believed on Jesus as our personal Savior, involved living according to God's word. I'm afraid that we have the same problem here that they have in Scotland. We have sheep that don't want to stay in the pasture where God has placed them. We have sheep that want to rebel against what Jesus taught and what God wrote in his word. They want to get out of the pasture and, if possible, lead some of the other sheep astray. I would like for us to take a few minutes and think about being saved from the aspect of being one of God's sheep or becoming one of God's sheep. I've heard other pastors and even an evangelist or two talk about being under the protection that God promises. They refer to it as being under God's umbrella. Like it's raining, and being under the umbrella of God's protection. When a person enters into sin, they take themselves out from under God's care. Why would a person do this? Well, let's see if we can figure it out from God's word. When people get involved in sin, they want others to join them. And so they make the sin look or sound attractive. Sometimes they're talking about things that they know very little about. And so they embellish the story or gossip. And it is with untruths. They think that they can speculate and add a little to here and there, and that will make the story more damaging and exciting to others. What they are doing is drawing other people into their sin. So not only are they themselves out from under God's umbrella of care, but they are taking others out from under his umbrella of care also. You see, gossip doesn't work with just one person. It takes at least two. And I've been getting reports that we have a couple of people gossiping in the church. Where do I find this kind of activity in the Bible? Let's look at it firsthand. Jesus Christ told his disciples or followers in Matthew 18:15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." I have brothers and sisters come to me and tell me that they were offended, and we work it out. Usually it is a misunderstanding about what was originally said. With a little communication, we can get things worked out. Sometimes I say things that are incorrect, and I have to go back and I have to apologize. It happens. But I have been told by some of our church family that we have a couple of gossips that are trying to disrupt our unity. I really still feel sorry for the person who is offended and doesn't come to me and get things worked out. Instead, they begin gossiping and backbiting. And right now, as we are attempting to merge with another church, and there are many things going on, this is a way of jeopardizing our unity and our togetherness. and drawing others into sin. That person who is gossiping is not in fellowship with God. And they don't want you to be in fellowship either. So they talk about things that they have nothing to do with. And they get you away from God also. Let's be specific about gossip. Let's try these verses. John 4:11-12. It says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that thou judgest another?" With these verses as a guide, the person who gossips is a sinner because they have done what God said not to do. And I do feel sad because the gossip is not in fellowship with God. God speaks of people who speak of things that they cannot change and should not speak about. They are gossips, and God appraises their activities. Jude 1:10-13. "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. The reward is that they exercised their pride, and they perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity when you feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth." When have that person who is gossiping led anybody to the Lord? "They are without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is revealed the blackness of darkness forever." I would be afraid to be around this kind of a person for fear that God might attribute the same kind of activities to me. Sin spreads to those around the sinner. The people who are doing that kind of thing should be ashamed of themselves. They have a root of bitterness in their hearts and need our prayers. I spent 2 weeks praying for those people and anyone that they might be influencing before I started this message. And I'm continuing to pray that the Lord will deal with them in love, as that is the way that He works. The Holy Spirit told me that since they would not come to me, that I must go to them. So I come to whoever you are, and I do not know, in love and sorrow for your broken relationship with God. I pray that you will repent, confess, and make things right. I would be so glad to have you do what God commands you to do, and to come to me, and we can discuss the problem. You are hurting others, and I don't believe that God is happy with. Let me go back to the sheep, John 10:10. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." It is my prayer that the people who are doing this are not doing this to destroy our church, that it is what the thief has planned to do. Jesus came to bring life, and they are doing what they are doing is not what Jesus wants. So if anyone comes to you with gossip or talking about things that they don't understand or do anything about things they cannot do anything about, walk away from them and rebuke them, for their misplaced interests. I thought that when we had that meeting on Sunday night, that anybody who would have a question would ask that question. Anyone who had a comment would have commented, but it seems that that was not taken care of there. Jesus went on to say in John 10, 14 through 18, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What command have you received of God? Are you practicing those commands? After Jesus shared the parable of the sheep with his disciples, there was some division of opinion. John 10, 19 through 21 tells us about it. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? What a great question. Do we have someone with blind eyes? I would hope not. I pray that our church is following the word of God and that we are pleasing God with the things that we are doing. We are on the verge of a great movement of God. This is something that I have been praying about and working for several years. I had asked God to show me what he wanted, and it is beginning to appear that a merger might be in his will for two churches. I believe that a messenger of First Love Baptist, merger of First Love Baptist Church and Coastal Shores Baptist Church might be in the will of God. We are taking it step by step, and we are seeking God's will in all things. As a general rule, I believe that we have unity of purpose and of God's will among our people. If we are to succeed, we will need to be careful to follow God's word and to pray for one another. As I said, I don't know who might be bitter and unhappy, but I am praying for them, and I would ask you to pray for them also. Pray that they will surrender their will to Jesus Christ, and that they will deal scripturally with all of their brothers and sisters in Christ, that they will confess anything that might separate them from God, and that they will come back into fellowship with the Savior. I will close this message, and it's early, but I will close this message with the last few verses concerning the sheep, John 10, 14 through 16. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of them. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Please pray that all of our sheep will be in fellowship with the Good Shepherd, and that we all may fellowship with each other. Father, this has been a difficult time, but your Holy Spirit is able to heal hearts. Your Holy Spirit is able to guide each one of us to the place that we need to be. May your will be done in each of our hearts. And Father, we ask that we will glorify you in everything we do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.